Proverbs 23 and verse 12. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. In my Bible, I've taken that verse and I've used two different colors of highlighters to highlight it two different ways, different words with two different colors here. Apply. Apply. It's telling us to do something, right? Apply. If someone has a sore and you give that person some salve and you tell him, apply this to your sore, it should help with the healing process. What do we expect that person then to do? Squeeze that salve out of that tube, or get your finger in that container and actually take and apply, right? Well, that's what we're told here to do. God tells us, apply. Apply what? Your heart. We're going to take our heart and we're going to apply it to something. That something is called instruction. Just like we take salve and put that on the sore, we apply it. God's telling us, take your heart and apply your heart. Give your heart to instruction. Put it out there to receive instruction. Put it out there for that purpose. And then it goes on, he says, not only your heart, again, apply your ears. Your ears. To what? Instruction. The words of knowledge. Apply them. So we have a task given to us, right? Good instruction, good for all of us. Doesn't matter what age we are, doesn't matter what gender we are, doesn't matter how mature we are in our Christian walk. It's even good for those that are here, for children that aren't Christians yet. The instruction is good all around. Apply our heart and our ears into instruction, unto instruction. I use that verse as an encouragement for us as we anticipate this. Yes, like I said, this is good anytime, all the time. But as we anticipate having a week of meetings, I want to leave that thought with us that we have a responsibility, we have a duty, each one of us, and that is to apply. Apply. If our heart is not open, if we don't give it, if we don't apply our heart, put it in the place where it can receive instruction, words of knowledge, as it's given here in verse 12, if our heart, our ears, aren't in that posture, then there will be a lot of seeds. Still, the seed will still be thrown. The seed will still be sown. But it will be to no profit to us. Or to me as an individual if I fail to put my heart out there. and give my ears to hear. We don't want this week to be a wasted week. We want it to be fruitful. What is the goal? What is the goal of having a meeting, a week of meetings? And I put together that little invitation and it lists some goals there. But this morning, I'm going to put it in these words. The goal is that you and I would grow. We would advance. We would go further. We would go higher. We would go deeper in the kingdom of God, in our experience, in our relationship with God. And if that can happen, if we can move just even one step further than where we are, if I can just say it that way, just one step further, another foot deeper, then we've had a profitable week. And if that happens, we're advancing in the kingdom of God, then God's kingdom will advance through us. It will grow. It will prosper through us. And that's what God wants. Are you following? Are you in agreement with that? So let's apply our heart and our ears. That's our job. That's our responsibility. Let's do that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you here this morning. We thank you for the blessed privilege of gathering together like this again. Thank you, Father, for giving us life. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with a beautiful, clear, sunny day again. But more than that, Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the preservation of your word. Thank you, Father, for the promise that where two or three are gathered, you are there. In the midst. We don't doubt that promise this morning. We thank you for it. We do commit ourselves to you, asking that you would have your way with us. We're asking, Father, that you would once again take these few crumbs. Take the couple of fish and multiply them. We're looking to you for instruction, for words of knowledge. We trust that you have some for us this morning. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, if you like, for our main text. Mark chapter 4, put your eyes on verse 9 before we start reading the text. Just look at verse 9 there. So So we are to apply our hearts and our ears unto words of knowledge, apply them to instruction. Here Jesus says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So we're going to read a good portion. Let's see here. You know, I think we'll read the first 30 some verses here. And as we do that, I would like you to note and pay attention how often Jesus references hearing. That our hearing is supposed to be the word. So make that connection as we read this passage here. And he, that being Jesus, began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything that kept anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Do we have ears this morning? Have you looked in the mirror? Have you felt to make sure they're there? Do we have ears this morning? Raise your hand if you have ears. If you know you have ears, raise your hand. Okay. I know you have ears, and I know you heard, because you responded. But brothers and sisters, just because we can hear sounds doesn't mean that we actually have ears that hear. A tool, it might work. If I put a battery in this thing, I'm fairly confident, at least the last time I had a battery on there, it worked. But just because this tool works doesn't mean it's performing how it should. You see, we have a lever here. That's so I can miter something, bevel something. When I have it all the way up and lock it in, it's supposed to give me a 90-degree cut. Well, not all tools do that. Sometimes you have to fine-tune it a bit. You know, you make your cut and you take out the square. Oops, cutting a little bit too much on an angle. It's not straight. So you take and you make a little micro adjustment and you try it again. Oh, yeah, perfect. All right, that's where we lock it in. You know, we had a customer that bought a 12-inch sliding compound miter saw. A good one. A Makita. And he brought it back. Wasn't happy with it. Well, what's wrong? Well, it's about 12 thousandths of an inch out. Between 8 and 12 thou when I make my cut. To a framer in here, you would shake your head and you say, what is that? But to a fine finish carpenter, 12 thou makes a huge difference. He says, so there's that problem. And I tried 3 different blades and it's still doing the same thing. I get about the same reading every time. I says, is that the only issue? No, he says, no, there's when you the miter saws, they have that detent, you know, click, and then it's supposed to be on a 22 and a half or 45 or whatever the angle is for that detent. He says the 90 is off. Okay. So it needed some fine tuning. So we took it away to the factory service center, and he's happy with it. He says it is like that now. Sometimes our ears are that way. They need some fine tuning. Maybe we can hear sounds, but we're actually not hearing the message. We need some fine tuning. You know, we hear, but we fail to apply. Are you following me? It's like that tool. It works, but it's not performing like it should. It's not serving its intended purpose. It's a bit of a humorous story. I may have shared this one before, but I remember, just comes to mind, of an elderly couple sitting at a breakfast table, having their morning coffee. The wife says something to her husband. The husband's reading the paper. Yeah. Honey, what was that? And so she repeats herself, and the man says, you know, it is proven that women speak twice as much as men. And then the wife says, yeah, that's because men don't hear us the first time. Point is, we hear the sound, but we don't hear the words. We don't hear the message, is what the application I want to make with it. Have you ever found yourself in a conversation? Someone's conversating with you, and you hear, you see, but you don't hear. You're picking up a message from another conversation over here, more than you are of the person that's talking to you. Just, you're picking up some sound, but the ears aren't hearing the message, the conversation that you're supposed to be picking up. Listening, truly hearing, is not always an easy task. So what hinders us from truly hearing when someone is speaking to us? What hinders us? What is one of the causes? Brother John alluded to it in his opening. The exact word I was thinking, distractions. Distractions take away, whether they are physical distractions or mental distractions in our, you know, in our own mind, they take away from hearing. And it's an ongoing battle that we fight. Some more than others. When we're distracted, we hear the sound of words, but we don't really hear what is being said. This can be happening in church even right now. You can be looking at me. You can hear. You can see that I'm talking. But in your mind, there's other thoughts captivating, occupying your mind, that you're not really hearing what's being said. So when Jesus repeatedly says, he that hath an ear to hear, Let him hear. Jesus could see that they had ears. Jesus wasn't blinded to it. He says, he that hath ears. Well, I have ears. Okay, well, if you have ears, then hear, listen. I wonder how many times Jesus felt like he was speaking to deaf people. They were gathered all around him, many people, right? But so few seemingly heard the message. Many people heard, but they didn't hear. So, that's a challenge we have, brothers and sisters. Can happen in our home, can happen, you know, family conversation. It can happen anywhere where there's conversation. Distractions. So, if this, how many of you would agree that distractions, whether physically or mentally, is a real enemy to actually hearing? Okay. So, in a setting like this, brothers and sisters, children, in a setting like this, if we agree that distractions take away the ability to hear, then we should be very careful in a setting like this to not take away. That means no just getting up and stretching and going for water just because I want to. That means I don't just go to the washroom just for the sake of going to the washroom. Now, they're there for their proper use, obviously, right? But you know what I'm saying? We will do what we can to minimize distractions so that we don't hinder ourselves and others from hearing. And by the way, that is one way to honor and glorify God. In a meeting like this, where I have a heart to do all that I can to not take away from someone else or rob myself of hearing what God would have for us. So in our text here this morning, Jesus says a lot about our doing. Something we need to do, again, going back to our Proverbs 23:12. Jesus, really, did you catch it here? He's really asking the people, apply your ear. Hear. Jesus knew what he was teaching was important. The message was vital. The message made a difference between life and death. And he wanted the people to have an opportunity to hear. And once you've heard, now the responsibility is on you. Now you have an obligation. Now you have a choice to make. And Jesus loved to bring his people to that place of you decide. I'm presenting the truth to you. Here's the message. Hear it. Now obviously his heart was that there would be a positive response. But his cry in our text is over and over, hear, hear, hear. We have, for the last number of years, had our annual outdoor service, and we know outdoor services have their added challenge
to not be distracted. A lot of Jesus' teaching sessions were outdoors. So there's that added. Just outdoor activity, whatever was happening. Was it by the water? Maybe it was the waves, the sound of the waves, or whatever. We're so easily distracted, brothers and sisters. Let's face it. It does not take much to be distracted. I can stand here and talk to us about how easily we're distracted, and you can be distracted while I'm saying it. Not that I think you are, but it's possible. It takes so little to take our ear and turn it away from actually hearing. There's three points to this message. I don't know if we'll get through all of them, but maybe at least briefly touch them. Three points from this text. There's the importance of hearing. There's the barriers to hearing. And then there's steps for effective hearing. Now, if you consider the context in which we find our text here, Jesus has had some growing difficulty dealing with large crowds. Even here now in this parable, as he's giving it, notice that it wasn't just the 12 disciples. It was the 12 and others. And actually, at the end of our reading, we found that Jesus took aside the 12 and instructed them, taught them, explained to them. More than what he did with the whole crowd. So that's kind of been a bit of a growing problem for Jesus. People were flocking around him, some for physical healings, for others, they just want to see another miracle done. It was, I think at times Jesus felt like it is the motive in many of these people, it's robbing me of my primary mission. To teach. So he tells his disciples in the previous chapter to have a boat ready. Go get a boat ready. So that he would have a way to escape and still teach. In Mark 3:9, Jesus says to his disciples, and he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. And then if you go in Mark chapter 4 here, in verse 1, you see the boats being put to use. Jesus makes a distinction in chapter 3 between those that belong to him and those that are on the outside. Jesus knew the hearts. Jesus knew. So he made a difference between them. Between those that wanted physical healing or those that were coming out to see and hear some good prophet from those who actually wanted to hear. So Jesus chooses his 12 disciples, his closest friends he would have in his earthly ministry. And on the other side, he warns the Pharisees that they reject the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives them a lesson. He says, you can't rely on your heritage of Abraham. Or rely on the external obedience of the law. In In verse 35 of Mark 3, he says, For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother, my sister, and my mother. And again, just cut that, made that clear line. Those are the ones that are in, the others are out. So in chapter 4, he follows it up with an invitation. Jesus says, listen to the word. Listen to the extent that you will obey it, that you will do it. Again, Jesus wasn't looking for some surface sound that they would hear, but that they would actually hear it. It would go in and sink down into the heart. That's true hearing. A lot of times, we have this saying, you know, you hear and it goes in one ear and out the other, right? Jesus wanted it to go in and then sink down. He wants no less from us any given time. But I think Jesus found himself in a very similar situation as Ezekiel did. And again, for the sake of time, I'm not sure that we're going to read it. But in Ezekiel 33, you have the account of Ezekiel facing a tremendous challenge. Ezekiel's ministry was not an easy ministry. He was a prophet. And a prophet oftentimes also gathered quite a crowd around him. Ezekiel faced that too. But the people didn't come to hear. That was the challenge Ezekiel faced. They came. They came and they listened, but they didn't come to hear. They came and they looked at Ezekiel and, wow. Found him entertaining. Some did. They came because they found him entertaining. They came to hear him talk, but they didn't come to hear to hear. They didn't come to make application. They expressed a devotion, but their actions nullified what they were saying. Ezekiel was, to some, to many, nothing more than a performer. An actor. Fun to listen to. But they walked away from there with no impact of the message. They hadn't heard. Entertainment will do that. It leaves you empty. It just leaves you empty. I think that's what was happening in Jesus' day. And I think, sadly, it still happens today. Again, brothers and sisters, when you and I choose to put ourselves under the preaching of God's word, like this morning, are we there? Are we here to hear God's word? Or are we more interested in who is teaching, presenting the word of God, and how he's doing it? That's a real challenge for us. I remember in my preteen years, even in my teen years, the church where we found ourselves, it was a regular routine. Very rarely did it get disrupted.
So you had a good idea who's preaching what Sunday. And there was a given preacher, when it was his day to preach, the church would be like probably maybe 60% capacity of the norm. Why? Because I'm not going to listen to him. I don't want to listen to him preach. I don't like the way he preaches. The way he preaches. So I'm not going. We're not going. Families didn't go. We can struggle with the same thing. Can. I hope we're not. But that we can go to church and we're more interested in who and how the message will be delivered versus actually hearing the message. Does that make sense? I had a response on my phone to the invitation for the meetings. And I struggled. I'll just be honest with you. I struggled with the response I got because of some not so distant challenges with this individual. And the only question he asked is, who's preaching? And automatically, in my mind, I had to fight this thought of thinking I know exactly why he's asking it. I never asked him why he was asking. But you know what? I think you can understand what that did to me just like that. More interested, perhaps, in coming if it would be someone of his preference. And maybe he would come to the meetings. That attitude dulls the ear. It stops the ear from hearing. They'll pick up nothing more than just some sound. That's sad. Now, the vehicle and perhaps the style of presenting the message, I am not saying that they don't matter or that they don't play a role. They do. But you cannot compare yourself to another brother and say, you have to do it like he does it, or he has to do it like you do it. We're unique. We're individuals. We have different methods, different styles. We're a different vehicle. We're not in the same car. I know it's safe to say that this coming week, the different vehicles that will be delivering the message, none of them will be up here thinking, I want to entertain you. I want to make it so interesting that it becomes, you know, my goal, my heart in this delivering the message is to entertain. We're entertaining, no doubt. We're entertaining, no matter what. But the goal is not to entertain. The goal is to deliver a message. The message this morning is that we would have ears that hear. The message this morning is to check to see if our ears need fine-tuning. That we can hear. So the importance of hearing.
you still have your Bibles open there to Mark chapter 4, I'm just going to do a brief walkthrough here. Verse 3, Jesus says to the crowd, hearken! Why would Jesus, when Jesus used that word, when he said, hearken! What was he trying to do? Get their attention. And again, for what obvious reason was he trying to get their attention? Hearken! Hey, hearken! Hey, you, hearken! I actually pictured Jesus saying it more than once, even though Scripture says it once. I think Jesus looked over the crowd. He says, oh, someone's over distracted over there. Hey, listen! Hearken! Pay attention! And he looked over here and he's, oh, there's some disruption over here. Hey, listen to me! Can I have your attention, please? Hearken! And when it looked like he had their attention, he began to speak. So verse 3, hearken. Verse 9, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 24, take heed what ye hear. Verse 33, with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. Hear, 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 hear. When he was alone, verses 10 and 12, because many did not hear. Doesn't matter how many times Jesus would have cried out, hearken! Hearken! Many did not hear. But when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he tells them, to you, it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom. But unto them that are without, those that are not hearing, had nothing to do with race, had nothing to do whether they were Jews or Gentile, had nothing to do with that. Everything had to do with the ones that were able to hear, willing to hear, and those that weren't. Them that are without, without hearing, verse 12 says, they see, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. It almost sounds like Jesus is saying, I'm keeping this from them. Right? I mean, if you just kind of take that verse by itself and take it for what it says, it almost gives the idea of, I don't want them to hear. I don't want them to understand. I don't want them, lest they be forgiven. And yet we know that's the very message Jesus was trying to get across, that they could be forgiven. But to those who have an ear to hear, Jesus says, a mystery. To you is given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But it takes an ear that's applied to hearing, to receiving. The mystery, many times in the Bible, is not necessarily a secret of hidden knowledge. A mystery, many times, is a truth that one can only come to know as God reveals it to us. Man can't do it. but God can. That's a mystery. So when Jesus is telling his disciples, I am revealing to you these mysteries, these vital truths. Verse 22, he reemphasizes this. For there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Come out. I'm not trying to hide this. I want this message to come out. I want this mystery displayed. We also see here the importance of hearing. If you're going to get converted, you need to hear. If you're going to be converted, if you're going to become a child of God, you have to have an ear to hear. Paul, in writing to the church of Rome, says, hearing, how faith comes, he says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. It enters in. It doesn't just... There it goes. Anyway, we'll leave that there. Let's go on to point number two, barriers. Barriers to hearing. How to interpret and apply this parable. So Jesus explains the parable, says it's an analogy. It's a story with an object or many objects that represent something, right? You have the seed representing the word. You have the birds representing Satan. You have the thorns which represent the cares of this world, the cares of this life. It's an analogy with an object or many objects in it. Verse 13 would tell us that this is true of all parables. Now, when we look at the parable of the sower, many times we look at it as an evangelistic tool, an evangelistic message. Preacher gets up, an evangelist gets up, preaches the word of God. He's sowing the seed. Some will respond and get saved. Some respond, fall away. And I think it's a good and right application. It's not out of context whatsoever. But this morning, I want you to think of this, the different soil conditions that are given in this parable. Could be one and the same person after having been saved. After you've been saved. We all face challenges in life. We face difficulties. We're tested. And the soil of our heart can be different in those different stages of life, depending on what we're facing. We could ask the question, how am I responding to the Word of God right now, this morning? What am I doing with what I'm hearing? Has the importance of hearing sunk in? Or is it just a thought that went? See, whether it goes or has a lot to do with the soil type. Yes, it has to do with our ear and thus applying it. But the outworking of that has to do with the soil type that we have. So what barriers can we face, do we face, maybe even facing now, that prevent us from hearing and applying God's word? Jesus goes on the parable. He says, as the sower went forth and spread the seed, some seed fell by the wayside. In other words, it fell on the well-trodden path. Hard. It wasn't worked up soil. It wasn't fluffy. No, it was hard. The seed fell on hard soil. And what happens to that seed? The birds come. They take that seed. Remember, the birds are Satan, or agents of Satan, ministers of Satan. Take away that word before it has a chance to somehow, maybe, just maybe, get a little bit of soil to germinate. Again, thinking of this seed falling on hard soil is like hearing in one ear and then going out the other. That's the effect of the seed on hard soil. Never, it just, it doesn't sink down and register. And when it doesn't register, it doesn't germinate. And when it doesn't germinate, it doesn't spring up. And when it doesn't spring up, there's no fruit. I think it's safe to say that this happens to us. All of us, at times. Given the human nature, the human framework, the human makeup of who we are in this temporal body, this probably happens to all of us at one point in time or other. So let's make sure. Let's do what we can to apply our heart and our ear to receive, lest that happens. See, in the evangelistic message, we would say this is that hardened sinner's heart. And you sow the seed, and you sow the seed, and you sow the seed, and there's just no response. But you see how this can happen to a Christian. It's going to happen to you and me as a believer. Doesn't mean all of life we have a hard soil, but this particular time, this particular moment, in this instance, this is how it is with me. It needs to be broken up. You ever find yourself reading the Bible? You're reading, turn the page, you finish the chapter, and then you can't recall what you read. It's gone. To no fault, I'm not saying this to blame, I'm trying to lift up the importance of having ears to hear. Hearts that are open, put in a place where they're open to receive. If we don't do that, it's this hard soil. We read, and it doesn't matter. The reading itself is not bad. It's still good to read. But brothers, we're allowing the seed to be eaten. It's not registering. It just... And maybe it's my own distracted thinking that morning. that's causing this. So I would encourage us, when you're reading, take the time. Don't wait till you're at the end of the chapter. Read a verse or two or three or a little passage, but then stop. Stop and ponder. Meditate on what you've just read. What is this saying? How does this apply to me? So that the birds can't come and snatch that seed. Does that make sense? How about preconceived ideas? Can that be a barrier? I have my own preconceived ideas, whether it has to do with principle and application. But I have my ideas, and anyone says anything different and it challenges my interpretation, my application of it, my walls are up. When the walls are up, you're not going to hear. We will not hear then. Whatever barriers you're facing, recognize them. Recognize the barriers. If you find yourself rejecting the word outright, ask yourself why. What's the cause? I'm telling you, the wayside is very broad and very real in the Christian's life. Then you have the stony ground. Sower sows a seed on rocky ground. There's soil there, some, limited, but there's some soil there, and the seed falls on some of that ground, and it springs up. Picture given, as the sun comes up, and the day gets warmer and warmer and warmer, by middle of the day or mid-afternoon, it's been so hot that that tender little plant couldn't take the heat. Sun burned it up. A little soil is better than no soil. That seed among thorny or rocky ground and rocky ground and rocky soil has more of a chance than the hard wayside. But it gives the picture of it being very tender. Very, very tender, very soft. Jesus explains that this can be the seed in one's own heart and life. Springs up, but can't withstand challenges in life. If obeying the word of God brings any challenges or difficulties, the heat of that challenge burns up that plant. You know, it's a little bit like listening to a sermon and you say, yes, 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 yep. And you purpose in your heart, I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to spend more time praying. Yes, 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 yes. And in a couple of days, life throws you a curveball. Nothing you could have prevented, it just happened to come your way. 2 weeks later, you find yourself praying and reading no more, maybe even less than that yes, yes, yes moment. It's a little bit like that rocky soil. And you have the thorns. And there's so much more that could be said on each one of these, but you have the thorns. Jesus says, these are the ones who have heard the word, and the worries and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke out the word. I think one of the saddest verses in the New Testament that we find that names an individual that fits this picture is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. His name is Demas. And that's what happened to him. Demas was a co-laborer with Paul. Demas was a man that Paul had used and recommended. But when he writes to Timothy, he has to give the sad report that Demas has forsaken me. Demas is no longer walking with me. Demas is no longer serving with me. Why not? According to Paul's words, according to the word of God, Demas no longer walked and served because he loved this present world. Thorns. Somewhere something captivated his heart and his affection. I don't know what he saw, but something got him off course. And he developed a different love, a love for the things of this world. Maybe it was riches, maybe it was money. You know, working alongside of Paul, Paul wouldn't have had a large money bag with him. He didn't have a lot of money to his name. Maybe as they're ministering together, Demas realized, well, man, everybody has more than I do. They have more, one person there has more than both of us put together. I don't know what happened, but something happened. And it drew his love and affection away from Christ. And he began to serve self. He loved this present world. The things of it. And it choked out. His love for serving God. Thorns. Covetousness. Just ask the question, are we free from it? Are the cares of this life consuming us? Dangerous. It's like thorns. They'll choke out all spiritual life. So, lastly, a couple of steps for effective hearing. How can we open our minds to the Word of God? And become that ground that accepts the Word and yields either 30, 60, or 100-fold. And I've said this many times before, and I'm going to say it again. 30, 60, or 100 isn't what matters. It could represent different stages of maturity in life. But we know, even in nature, not every corn stalk will produce the same amount of ears, and not every ear will have the same amount of corn kernels. The 30, 60, or 100 is not what we should focus on. If we have an ear to hear, a heart to receive, a heart to do, then in the eyes of God, that's 100. Then it's 100. Though you may have more fruit than I do, but if our heart and ear is in the same place, we both have 100 in the sight of God. So what does it take to have that kind of a heart, that kind of a soil, that kind of a disposition? Number one, we do what God calls us to do. We apply ourselves. We apply our heart, we apply our ears to receive. We open up ourselves so it can come in. We want it to come in. We have an attitude that says it must come in. And then from there, we rely on the Holy Spirit to do His work within us. But we don't sit back now. As we wait for the Spirit of God to do His work, we spend time in the Word. We're taking in more. We give our ear and our heart continually to hear more. We spend time in solitude and prayer with God. We listen and we read prayerfully. We read the Word of God prayerfully. It makes a huge difference whether we're reading prayerfully or just reading. As you're listening to someone teach, preach, you listen prayerfully. You have a heart, you have an ear that wants to hear. And you realize how easy it is to get distracted. We realize that the birds are flying everywhere trying to get that seed before it falls in. And we realize there's many, many barriers that we don't even know we might face, and we just simply ask God, show us those barriers and break them down. It takes a spiritual man. It takes a spiritual man. It takes a man of God, a woman of God, to apply themselves to hearing. Now you say, well, then how can anyone, what's the importance of hearing before you're a Christian? I'm going to put it this way. As an unconverted individual, if you have a heart that wants to hear, God will enable you to hear enough to respond to Him, to believe in Him. Enough where your heart says yes. But from there, it takes a spiritual person. It takes a nurturing of that same heart disposition that you started with. It takes a nurturing of that to continue to hear. Paul says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why not? Because the natural man thinks them to be foolish. Paul goes on, he says, neither can he know them. Why not? Because it takes a spiritual mind to discern them. So let's rely and depend on God. Spend time and energy trying to understand. Applying ourselves. Apply would be a verb, right? A verb, an action word, right? Applying ourselves. Spending time and energy doing what we can to understand, to hear. Jesus tells his disciples in verses 24 and 25, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. Now, it's all in the context of hearing the word of God. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Right? It's natural within mankind, in the physical sense, to always want more, more, more. How about in the spiritual sense? Jesus promises us here that if you have an ear to hear and you're hearing, you'll get more. Verse 25 says, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. That's a scary thought. Imagine, in a spiritual sense, you decide, I decide, a person decides, I'm not going to hear anymore. I'm stopping my ears. Based on these words, Jesus says, then that which you have gained till now, you're going to lose. All that you've heard and understood to this point, you're going to lose it. Is it any wonder why we see some with whom we once walked? You know, sometimes I find myself asking, how can it be? How could they have gone so far? And I'm not saying it's that way, but is it possible that they stopped hearing? And now that which they had has been taken away or is being taken away from them. And as that is being diminished, they continue to go left, further left, further left, further left. Further away, 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 away. Truth. I don't know. I'm going to close with this. The phrase here in these verses 24 and 25, take heed, means to consider carefully what you hear. It literally means, see what you hear. So you have ears, and you've used your ears to hear. Now see what you hear. Perceive it, contemplate it, mull it over, understand it thoroughly. See it. In other words, meditate on what you hear. And then he goes on. He says, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. So I picture here Jesus with a bag of seed, a bag of grain. And you and I are given the option. You and I are given the option to choose a scoop size that we're going to use to scoop out that, out of that bag. We can choose a teaspoon, or we can choose a big scoop. It's up to us. The more we take, the more will be given to us in the sense of hearing his word. So let's open up our hearts wide. Make the scoop as big as possible. Take as much as we can, because the more we take, the more we take in, the more he will give to us. Our taking will never outdo his giving. Never. He always gives more than what we're capable of taking. You believe that? So with what measure you meet, it'll come back to you. So we all have ears, and they all pick up sounds. Let's make sure they're finely tuned to hear the word of God. God add his blessing.